Well, thank you, Mr. Dunkel. Brethren, happy Sabbath, happy High Day, and welcome to the first day of the Festival of Tabernacles. For most of us, the year 2020 has been one of the most challenging years that we experienced in our lifetimes, in an entire generation. It has changed how much is done in our normal lives. It's been a difficult year for the entire world, for our nation, for our economy, and yes, even for God's congregations. So I have a question for all of us today, and here it is. What kind of a feast are you going to have this year? Will it include anxiety, perhaps fear, frustration that it won't be enjoyable like past feasts have been? Will it be a feast season that's limited, has barriers? Again, I want to ask you, what kind of a feast will you have this year? Let's begin by going to the book of Psalms, the 118th chapter, and see what the great psalmist reminds us of this day. And this can apply to any day, but particularly on a day in which God said in Leviticus 23, "These are my feast." These are the feast of the Lord, it says there in the first few verses of Leviticus chapter 23. But here we are in Psalm chapter 118, and we'll begin in verse 24. Here's what the great psalmist wrote. "This that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord, O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity." Some translations say, "Send us success. Grant us your blessings on this day that you have made." Verse 26, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord. He has given us light." He's revealed to us the purpose of his holy days, how they reflect the plan of his salvation in this very feast, celebrating the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ himself. "Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar." To put it in a new covenant perspective, be a committed living sacrifice. Be committed to our calling. The challenge with being a living sacrifice is that we can squirm and wiggle off of the altar if we're not focusing on the right kinds of things. Verse 28, "You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever." My dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, this is God's festival. He established it as an opportunity for his people to rejoice and to be glad. The kind of feast we are going to have this year is a personal choice. And I want to encourage you in this sermonette to make the right choice. In spite of what may be presently going on in the world or back home or even here, we can choose to have a great feast this year. We can choose to make it our best feast ever. Our spiritual mentor is Jesus Christ. I'd like to review for all of us the mindset he had in the very eve of his death. If you'll begin turning to John chapter 16, Jesus at this point in his life knows exactly what will occur to his physical body during scourging and crucifixion. He understands prophecy. He knows the role that he must play. And he knows he will be arrested very soon and experience a horrible night and early morning of the next day. He totally knows the violence, the extreme pain, the mental anguish that he will soon experience. In spite of that, let's see what our role model, Jesus Christ, teaches us here in John chapter 16 and verse 22. He says, "Therefore, you now have sorrow." They will soon witness him being arrested and understand that he will be crucified the next day. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. He knew that he would be resurrected from the dead and see his disciples again and love them and teach them. And your joy no one will take from you. And in that day, you will ask me nothing, because you'll have the access to go directly to the Father. You won't need Jesus as your physical mentor and teacher anymore. And remember, in context, he's talking to his disciples. You'll be able to go directly to the Father. He says, most assuredly, I say unto you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. Why? That your joy may be full. You see, brethren, our Savior desires that we transcend what is going on in the world around us and have joy, just like he was transcending the painful physical things he was about to experience. And in spite of those things and that reality, he was determined to be joyful and have joy. And notice that he doesn't say just a little bit of joy. I want you to have some joy. No, he says full joy. So have we allowed this world's events or our own personal problems to take away our joy? Have we allowed Satan, the devil, the thief, to create distracting things in our lives that have taken away our joy? Let's go to the next chapter. Jesus asks something very important of the Father in a prayer. This is chapter 17, and we'll pick it up here in verse 13. Chapter 17 and verse 13. This is his prayer. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Is the joy of Jesus Christ fulfilled in us? Or have we allowed the cares and problems of this world to take away those joys? Verse 14, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. In other words, I don't pray that you remove all their problems and all the obstacles they have. They're going to be in this world, and they're going to experience the same economic trends and problems and viruses and things that everyone else does. But, he says, but that you should keep them. I want you to keep them from the evil one, or Satan, the devil, the wicked influencer. So, brethren, are we reflecting the same degree of personal peace and joy that Jesus Christ had even on the eve of his very death? Is our attitude a fulfillment of the literal joy that Jesus demonstrated on the eve of his death? I want you to think about this. If you were to go to Galatians chapter 5, you'll see the fruit of the Spirit. You know that there's only one fruit of the Spirit that someone can detect that you have 10 feet away. Every fruit of the Spirit, except this one, in order to determine if a person reflects it and has it, you have to meet them, you have to have a meeting of the mind, you have to get to know them a little bit to know if they have love, if they have peace, if they have patience. But there is one fruit of the Spirit that you can tell 10 feet away because of a person's countenance, because of their nonverbal communication, because of their actions, and that fruit is joy. And that's what I want you to be determined to choose to be joyful during the feast this year. Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17. Truly, brethren, I don't even have a scripture from Habakkuk. I just wanted to see how long it takes us to turn there. I'm just teasing. Of course, we have a scripture. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17. Now, we've lived in some difficult times. Let's see how they compare to his time. He says, though the fig tree may not blossom, there's an environmental catastrophe going on in his time as he's writing this, nor fruit on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food. Sounds like a famine going on. There's not much to eat. I've been here in this town a couple of days and there are plenty of restaurants. There's plenty to eat here. Continuing, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herds in the stall, so there's no meat because the animals have either died or been eaten because of a famine. The animals usually provide meat, milk. Their hides provide clothing. That's gone. What is Habakkuk's approach to this? Verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Is this how we're feeling? Is this how we're going to approach the Feast of Tabernacles in the year 2020? Continuing, he says, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. When I need something, it'll happen fast, quickly. He will make me walk on high hills. God will put me above everything else that's going on. He's my protector. He is my provider. He finishes off to the chief musician with my stringed instruments. The prophet learned the exact same thing that Jesus Christ himself later demonstrated. It doesn't matter what's happening on the outside. Everything in the outside is temporary. Even our physical lives are transient. What is really important is how well we transcend, we go above and beyond those negative physical events and focus on what is really important, the inside, our thinking, our attitude generated by our self-talk, that communication that we have within our heads going on all of our waking moments. Here's the key. We are being trained now to be servants and leaders in the world tomorrow in God's kingdom. We are God's saints. But before the kingdom of God is established on earth, brethren, we must first establish the kingdom of God between our two ears. That is where it all begins. And during this feast, we can make sure that that's happening in the way that we reflect our example as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Playwright George Bernard Shaw wrote this once, quote, he said, a Native American elder once described his own inner struggles in this manner. Inside of me, he said, there are two dogs. One of the dogs is mean and evil. The other dog is good. The mean dog fights the good dog all the time. How many of us kind of feel the same way with the self-talk that we struggle with day in and day out? When asked which dog wins, the old Native American elder replied, the one I feed the most. So what are we feeding into our minds? Are we allowing the social media of this world to determine how we think? Are we allowing the negativity that exists everywhere in our culture and our society to steal the joy from us? Brethren, we should not let that happen. God is extending a personal invitation to you to celebrate his feast here this year. And the kind of feast you will have is exactly the kind of feast you determine you will have in spite of the obstacles, setbacks, problems, or unexpected events. You will have the kind of feast that you decide to have in advance. It's really no different than the kind of tomorrow that you'll have, or ultimately the kind of life that you're going to have. Take a mask, for example. Inconvenient? Sure. Uncomfortable for many of us, yes. But don't let something like this steal your joy. Don't let something like this negatively influence your life. Going out to a restaurant. Maybe you'll go to your favorite restaurant and they'll say, I'm sorry, you're going to have to wait 30 minutes because we're only at half capacity due to social distancing. Don't let that bother you. Don't let that get under your skin. Perhaps you'll be in a hotel like I'm in. And they say, yes, we normally serve a hot breakfast in the morning, but due to the events, we have for you a little brown bag with some processed food that is not fit for human consumption. Don't allow that to bother you, get under your skin, because God is going to work things out for you. About 6 weeks ago, I had a blood test, and I'm scheduled. I go into my blood test. She says, Mr. Thomas, your blood test will be in an hour and 45 minutes. I said, okay. I walked out of there, did a little shopping at Staples, spent a little time at Walmart, bought something at Home Depot, walked back into the hospital, was there a couple of minutes, and the nurse came out, Thomas, Thomas. You see, brethren, God works things out for us. Don't get upset. Don't lose your cool. Don't allow circumstances and situations to steal your joy. As a Christian, you will have the kind of feast that you are determined to have. So what kind of feast will you have this year? The answer is the same one you truly desire and the one that you plan for. It's your choice and decision. And in spite of what's going on in the outside world, we can determine to have an awesome Feast of Tabernacles. We can enthusiastically accept God's invitation to be here and joyfully worship Him at His holy convention. We can look forward to the fellowship and sharing our lives with each other. We can get excited about God's plan for a future world and our role in that plan. So I encourage you, as this feast begins, to look beyond the problems and issues and focus on what this festival represents, and that is the glorious kingdom of God and your calling to serve in that soon coming kingdom. In conclusion, let's remember the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. He said, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, like masks and the media and all of those things that may try to pull us down, may try to steal our joy. He said, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen, including this, is temporary. But what is unseen, Paul said, is eternal. I wish and pray that all of you have a rewarding and inspiring Feast of Tabernacles this year. May God truly bless you.